Psalm 10. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait, secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it. For thou beholdest mischief and spite, to requite it with thy hand. The poor committeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king for ever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. You ever wondered what perhaps the most amazing thing that you can say to God is? What's the most amazing thing you can say to God? Is it to declare his glory and his majesty as we sing his praise? That frail, sinful man can take on his lips the name of God and speak of the great works of God? Is it to address the Almighty as Father? To speak of the intimacy and the security of our standing in his presence? Is it to confess sin? That you and I are able to come into the presence of the all-holy God and acknowledge ourselves to be sinners? Is it that we can plead for his intervention? As we have in verse 12, Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. That we can cry out to God in the midst of our trouble and to seek his deliverance. Or is it maybe this that we find in the first verse? To complain. Isn't that amazing? That we are able to complain to God. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? It's a complaint and it's an accusation. Isn't that beyond expression? That God would permit you and I to come and to bring our complaint not to complain about ourselves, though we may, and not complain about others, though we may complain of that also. But here, there is a complaint about God. Why do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? It's what we find in the book of Job, isn't it? In the midst of all the great conversation and discussion that Job has with his friends, we see the patience of God. The patience of God as these men speculate and question, and there's an implied complaint against God that it's not just, it's not right. And we find that God waits. Before God speaks, I find it particularly wearying when the children come and complain. When the children come and complain, I'm weary, and I'm also defensive, because implied in that complaint there's a insinuation, there's an accusation of it. And that's why they come to me to complain, because they're saying it's my fault. Something should be better. Something should be happier. And here we have words which are given to us to express and articulate a complaint before God. Isn't it amazing that God bids you to come and to be real before him? Not to be superficial. Not to pretend. Not to put a gloss on it. Remember Nehemiah. When Nehemiah heard about the destruction or the devastation, the continued devastation, the inability of the Lord's people to rebuild Jerusalem, he was overwhelmed. His heart was sad. And he went before the king and he said, I'd never before been sad in the king's presence. It just wasn't a done thing. You were cheerful in the presence of the king because it implied your appreciation of the king. And to be sad in the king's presence was to suggest some criticism at the king. Artaxerxes, the emperor of Persia. But here the Lord God of heaven gives words that you and I may be able to use. You see how robust the relationship is. It's not superficial, but it's true and it's real. In this fallen world, you can call upon God. In this fallen world, you must call upon God. In this fallen world, you can come to God and call upon him, expressing how it is. And it's true, isn't it? Isn't it that there's times when you feel that God has hidden himself and that God is far away and that God is not hearing your cry and God is not intervening to deliver you? Isn't it wonderful that these words, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? These are not words of unbelief. And these are not words of rebellion. Rather, these are words of faith. Now the devil will suggest to you that it's a sign of unbelief. The devil will suggest it's a sign of rebellion. And therefore, because you've rebelled, then you better not come, but instead you must hide. And so, to drive you from the very presence of God. But these words are given to draw you in to the presence of God. And these are words of faith. And they're words of faith because they address God. Expressing this fear, expressing this anxiety, but yet they address God. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? These are words of faith. Very different from the words that we have in verse 11, the words of the wicked. Because we're told the wicked has said in his heart, God hath forgotten, he hideth his face, he will never see it. Now there's something similar here. The psalmist is saying, Lord, you're far away, you're hiding from me. And the wicked is saying, God's far away, God doesn't see, God doesn't pay attention. But you know what the biggest difference is? The wicked says it in his heart. And he's a smug satisfaction with it. God doesn't see. God won't trouble me because God is not here. Whereas the psalmist, the believer, the child of God, addresses it to God. There's no smug satisfaction. But rather, there's a plea and there's a cry. Lord, why do you hide yourself? Lord, why are you far away? There is a knowledge of God. There is a desire for God. And there's an expectation also. Because God is not a God who is far away. Because God is not a God who hides himself. And so there is distress. Because we know God. That he's good and gracious and merciful and faithful. So this is not the expression of unbelief. This is an expression of distress. But it's the expression of the believer's distress. And God has articulated it for you, that you might express your distress. And that's what you must do. Not hide away. Not put on a superficial smile. Not pretend that all is well. But when you're overwhelmed, to express that you're overwhelmed. When you feel that God is distant, to express your concern that God seems distant. To be true and to be real in the presence of the Almighty. And the Lord gives us these words because he understands our experience. He has a perfect knowledge of your experience. And he provides these words so that you might express it. That you might not be left isolated and alone in the midst of it, but rather be drawn close to him. And we think of the perfect knowledge of God, of his sympathizing with us. We can think of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ that we have in Psalm 22. Similar words in many ways. My God, why hast thou me forsaken? Why so far art thou from helping me and from my words that roaring are? All day, my God, to thee I cry, yet am not heard by thee. And in the season of the night, I cannot silence. We see our Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken. Our Lord Jesus Christ felt the distance as God turned his face from him. And in God turning his face from his son, as he suffered upon the cross. And an outpouring of his wrath and judgment upon his Son upon the cross. In that we have hope. Because there we see the wrath of God satisfied, the justice of God satisfied, so that God does not draw away from us, but rather draws us near to himself. Because sin and all that would destroy and all that would keep separate is dealt with and it's gone. Of all the amazing things that we can say to God, surely this is amongst them all, that we can come with our sore hearts and with our hard experiences and, as it were, complain to God. Not complain about God, but yet to complain to God. The gracious and merciful God that we have. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, be pleased in mercy to deliver us from all pretense. Enable us to use these words which have been given to express our fears and to bring our concerns. How we rejoice that you are the one who hears the cry of his children and who understands the inexpressible cry within the heart, who is faithful and merciful, and who will deliver to the uttermost, and under whose hand we will be preserved, that though we pass through the waters, they will not overflow us. And though we pass through the fire, it will not kindle upon us. And though there are many times where it is too hard for us, yet the grace of God is all sufficient. And the strength of God is made perfect in our weakness. Help us then to come and to wait with expectation. Lord, sanctify our different experiences and give us to see the advance of your kingdom. Give us to see the advance of the glory of God. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. We're going to sing some verses from Psalm 10. We'll sing verses 1 to 4 and then verses 11 and 12. Verses 1 to 4, then 11 and 12. Wherefore is it that thou, O Lord, dost stand from us afar? And wherefore hidest thou thyself when times so troublous are? The wicked in his loftiness doth persecute the poor. And these devices they have framed, let them be taken sure. The wicked of his heart's desire doth talk with boasting great. He blesseth him that's covetous, whom yet the Lord doth hate. The wicked through his pride of face, on God he doth not call. And in the counsels of his heart, the Lord is not at all. He thus hath said within his heart, the Lord hath quite forgot. He hides his countenance, and he forever sees it not. O Lord, do thou arise. O God, lift up thine hand on high. Put not the meek afflicted ones out of thy memory. Psalm 10, verses 1 to 4, and then 11 to 12.
Oh!